B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Static X's Tony Campos is my guest today as those guys crisscross the country in honor of their friend, the late Wayne Static, and of course the 20th anniversary of Wisconsin Death Trip. We talk all about the tour and memory of his friend.
The bittersweet experience all around for sure.
Oh yeah, there's new music coming out with Static X and with Wayne on vocals.
Some demos that I had received from one of our old producers that he received from Wayne shortly before his passing.
His relationship with Wayne at the end of his life wasn't great.
Unfortunately, the last 5-6 years of his life, he was in the throes of drug addiction.
That's just for starters. Tony Campos from Static X today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Back from vacation and back at it for the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Thank you guys so much for checking it out. Even Al Beck is back in the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Rock news coming up here a little bit later on. News about Steel Panther, one of the greatest rock bands on the planet ever. And also news about Zakk Wylde, where he talked about almost joining Guns N' Roses. It's kind of funny because I've talked with Slash about this, and I've talked with Axl about this as well in different interviews from the past. So I will replay some clips from Slash, which was just 2 months ago, and Axl, which I think I talked to Axl around 2004, I want to say, something along those lines. So anyways, yeah, that comes up here in just a bit. In the meantime, Tony's been doing all sorts of interviews promoting this 20th anniversary of Wisconsin Death Trip. And that turned 20 back in March. It's hard to believe. 1999. Man, wow. Doesn't seem like 20 years ago, but here we are in 2019. So do the math. I guess that's where we're at. But of course, everybody knows 5 years ago, Wayne Static passed away. Drugs and alcohol and all sorts of stuff going on in his life. Then his wife died a couple years later in 2016. So it was a pretty tragic ending there for Wayne Static. But Tony's back there trying to put a positive spin on his life and talk about the positive stuff that Wayne did. And we did get a little, into the final few days of his life in here, but not too much. We talked about the tour, talked about the new music they're working on right now with Wayne singing from some demos that they found. So it's a lot of cool stuff. And Tony was gracious enough with his time to talk with us about this. So anyways, let's get right at it. I gave him a call, and we were off and running the first generic stock question. Of course, they're a couple weeks now into their tour. How's the tour going?
Yeah, well it's not to sound stock and generic, but it's been great. A lot of shows have been sold out, packed rooms, and, people really feeling the vibe and the energy we're putting out there, man. It feels good.
I guess I want to go back to when you first started to kind of for lack of a better term, put the band back together. Like what were the feelings when you got into rehearsal and stuff and then playing the first couple shows? What kind of emotions did you have?
Yeah, well, like the first time the three of us got in a room together, it'd been like well over a decade since the three of us have been in a room together, let alone playing. But when we first got into the rehearsal room and started playing all the old stuff, particularly the stuff off of Wisconsin Death Trip and some of the Machine stuff, like that stuff came back like muscle memory, man. It just clicked. Like it was pretty instantaneous how it just all fell back into place. And it was only the later stuff that we were like, how does this go again? And, we had to pull up the YouTube video and hold the phone up next to the microphone and, oh, yeah, that's how this goes. Okay.
But like without Wayne being there and stuff, I mean, how different did it feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's a bittersweet experience all around for sure. You're missing a pretty important guy, but just the three of us reconnecting again after so long, it just feels really good, and it kind of helps us just remember all the good times we had together with Wayne. And, it's just been really good, kind of cathartic, I'd almost say.
Yeah.
But it's been an awesome experience.
So tell me about that first show. So you guys get up there, and from what I'm seeing on the internet and stuff, this is kind of a pretty big production. So tell me about that first show and how you think things went.
Yeah, I thought the first show went great. Just that when the intro was rolling and I'm standing on the side of the stage and hearing the crowd and. I haven't felt that kind of nervousness, anxiety, raw emotion. I haven't felt that way in such a long time, man. So it was just, by the time I actually ran onto the stage, I was so much adrenaline and emotion. It was crazy. I hadn't felt that in such a long time. So it was really cool to experience that.
Yeah, were you surprised by your feelings going on stage that night, or did you kind of half expect it?
Yeah, no, I didn't know what to expect, man. I mean, I've been doing this pretty consistently now for 20 years. And so, even like with the bands that, I would have chopped my left nut off to play with, I just go on stage and, I do my job. But this was like so much more personal. And it didn't really hit me until I was on the side of the stage and the intro was rolling. Like even backstage before, it was just like, all right, cool, getting ready. Yeah, it's cool to fucking be with my friends. But it didn't all hit me till I was like right on the side of the stage with the intro rolling.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I was thinking about this this morning because, obviously I knew I was going to talk to you and whatnot, but I can't think of another situation where a band has done what you guys are doing. Can you?
Yeah, no, I don't think so, man.
So when do you guys decide to get the band back together? I mean, do you ever think about maybe doing like a hologram or something, or do you think about bringing somebody out that everybody knows, or did you always have this vision of maybe bringing somebody out and having them kind of portray Wayne's part?
Yeah, I mean, if we were going to bring the band back, we wanted to be organic and have that energy of four guys on stage and try to bring back just that vibe and emotion that we had and that the audience had when they first saw Step Dex 20 years ago. So as cool as the hologram is, I just don't think it has that energy, or that organic feel to having someone in front of your face,
Yeah.
So the hologram got really, that really wasn't a consideration. As far as having someone there, we didn't want the focus to be on here's Static X with their new singer.
Right, right.
That's not what we're doing. So we thought of how do we do that, and at the same time, do it right by Wayne's memory and Wayne's family. And we kept going back to all these merchandise items that we had with of skulls with Wayne's hair and his beard. And we thought, how do we do that on stage? And so that's when the mask idea came about. And I think it looks pretty cool. And I know it's something Wayne would have thought was fucking awesome. So, and now that people are seeing it live and seeing how it's coming across, I think that everybody's digging it. Even the people that were skeptical were coming around and saying, this is cool.
Yeah, what is it like being up there on stage and looking over to your right or whatever and seeing someone portraying Wayne?
Yeah, it's cool. It's like sometimes I'll catch him on the corner of my eye and I'll get Wayne flashbacks. and that's kind of what it's about, just to bring back those memories.
Yeah, so everything's gone according to plan so far.
I think it exceeded.
Really?
Plans. Yeah. It's just been overwhelming. Really, really cool, man.
When did the genesis of this whole idea begin? Last year or something? Or
I think it was around 2016 I started thinking about this. I was working with Fear Factory at the time. We had a lot of downtime. And so I just started writing again. And then I revisited some demos that I had received from one of our old producers that he received from Wayne shortly before his passing. And so I revisited that stuff. And that's when I was really like, well, let me get in touch with the guys and see if we can do something with this, you know, and like do it right. And yeah, that's kind of the genesis of all this.
And now that's going to be put out into a record coming out. Is that right? Correct me if I'm wrong. The Project Regeneration?
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. So you guys have some stuff already done?
Yeah. I won't say completely done, but there's definitely some stuff already tracked. And what we initially thought we had or what we were going to have has evolved into something completely different now. In our search for more material, both for the studio and for our live shows, we discovered a bunch of the additional material with Wayne's vocals on them. So this started out as just having one song with Wayne's vocals, and that's why we were going to recruit all our friends to come in and sing on the record. But now we're at the point where the majority of the songs on the record will feature Wayne's vocals.
Wow. So who's going to be coming in to help out? I know I've seen a list of names and stuff, but do you have any can you tell us anyone that has definitely laid down tracks and is definitely going to be on the record?
Yeah, so far, the only person that has come in and actually tracked anything is Al Jorgensen from Ministry.
Okay. Yeah, and of course you got a big long history with him, and Al's such a good dude. But so let me ask you about this. So when word got out that you guys might have been doing this tribute to Wayne or whatever, were you surprised by the amount of people that stepped up to offer their services?
Yes and no. I mean, it was cool that you know, a lot of these people came in and were down to help. But you know, Wayne had a lot of friends too, and they knew who the real Wayne was, the guy he was back in the day, and that's what this is all about, remembering that guy. And so when the opportunity came, they were pretty down to help out. So that was a really cool feeling to have all our friends, you know, willing to pitch in and help out, you know.
Yeah, that's great. So when are we going to hear this new material or old material or whatever you want to call it?
Pretty old is new again.
Yeah.
We've had a few delays. So we're trying to get it out before the end of the year. Two things that have caused the delays are one, just all this new material that we've come across. And then two is just we've been going back and forth trying to find the right record deal for this. So hopefully we can get it done before the end of the year. I mean, we still got to do all this touring, so we'll have a few weeks off in between tours. We can get back to work on the record. We trying to get this out as quickly as we can, but we want to make sure it's done right. So, we got to delay it a little more and make sure it's done right. Then that's what we do.
Yeah. So you've probably answered this question a billion times. So what was your relationship like with Wayne the last couple of years?
Not good. Let's just put it that way. Not good.
Right. That's what I thought.
Unfortunately, the last 5-6 years of his life, he was in the throes of drug addiction, and that just kind of puts a wedge between people. Unfortunately.
Hey, let's talk about some of your other projects that you got that you're working on. What else you have going on now? I mean, outside of Static X.
Well, I'm out here doing this stuff with Static X. Dino and Emilio keep me at home writing music for another Asesino record. So hopefully by the time I get home in December, there'll be some material written. So I can just come in and scream some obscenities in Spanish and we'll have a finished Asesino record.
Yeah, I have this girl. I have this girl around here in Detroit that calls me Pendejo. I don't know what that means, but so that's what she says. I don't know.
That just means she loves me.
I'll take your word for that because I'm not exactly sure. What's going on? You mentioned Al Jorgensen. What's going on with Ministry?
They're actually out in Europe right now, and they actually just announced. A tour for November they're doing. They're doing the final leg of Slayer's Farewell Tour.
Oh, that's right. I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, with them and Primus and Phil Anselmo. So,
yeah. Is that going to be a show?
I'm going to be missing that one, but...
Yeah.
You only get one crack at a 20th anniversary.
That's true. But that final show is in Los Angeles, and there's on November 30th or something. There's no chance you can make it out there for it, huh?
Yeah, no. I'm going to be out in the middle of, leg two.
Yeah.
The U.S. tour for this. So, yeah, I'm going to see. We'll check the schedule and see if I can fly out to a show on a day off or something, man. So I got to catch that.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, yeah, you just mentioned, Wisconsin Death Trip, 20 years. I mean, man, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think one of the first times I saw you guys, Ozfest, right? Didn't you guys do Ozfest back in the day?
Yeah, we did three of them. We did 99, 2000, and 2007.
Yeah, that early one, 1999, I mean, that you must have some great memories from that.
Yeah, certainly, just a magical time, I would dare say. Incredible, we were just waking up every day, and like, oh my God, I'm on tour with Ozzy, I'm on tour with Seven. Just all the bands that were, that were on that bill, it was like, heavy metal summer camp.
I bet. And I have to imagine that going on a big tour in a festival kind of atmosphere like that, it's one of those things where it's like, it inspires you to do even better.
Yeah, I mean, it was just it's a mind-blowing experience. It was the first time we got an actual tour bus, and it was just like the dream come true. it was just a crazy experience for sure.
That was so cool, those tours back in the day, to see all the upcoming bands and stuff like that. And like you guys, I talked to, David Draymond from Disturbed. I just talked to somebody else recently where I saw them. The guys from, I think, Papa Roach, bands like that. It's like they all got their starts kind of on those tours in the late 90s.
Yeah. Ozfest gave a lot of bands their start. That second stage was a big showcase for a lot of bands. I remember there was this little band that no one heard of from Iowa that just went on stage and killed everyone. And, they're like now the biggest band in the world, Slipknot, So, yeah, that was their debut to the world. And, that tour did a lot for a lot of bands, including our own.
Yeah. So this weekend you're going to be playing in the Detroit area at Harpo's, which you guys have played at a bunch of times. And I know that a few weeks ago you guys had to cancel a show because the place was too small for the production or something. But I've seen some of the video and stuff online. This is a pretty cool undertaking you guys are taking on, huh?
Yeah. We wanted to bring it back and do it, as big as we could. We felt like it deserved it, when the Wayne Memorial, the anniversary, everything that this encompasses, we felt like we had to bring it back at the highest level we could, and then just to present the memorial the right way too. We felt it was really important to have that kind of level of production. So I think we're pulling it off.
Nice. Well, that's cool. Well, listen, Pendejo. So I'm just giving you a hard time. Hey, well, good luck on the tour here. Can't wait to hear this some of the new stuff maybe by the end of the year as well. And Tony, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, look who the cat dragged in. There he is. Back in action. Al Slayer Beck is he's here doing rock news. And, yeah, it's been a couple weeks here.
It's been a few weeks. I know we had a
very
week.
Nice few weeks.
Yeah,
actually.
I'm sure. Yeah, a little less of a headache, right? I know we had a week where neither of us, our work didn't line up. And then we had vacations that didn't line up together. So, yeah, here we are.
They give you vacation? That's shocking,
actually. I know. Okay. As long as you don't have to earn anything, I'm good.
Yeah, there you go. So, anyways, yeah, it's been a couple weeks. Real fast, I just want to pass this along. I went, my wife, you know, she had this surprise getaway that we were supposed to be doing, you know, last weekend. So, anyways, I whined and cried enough, and she moved it for me because Tom Kiefer from Cinderella was in town.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Tom Kiefer, right?
Yeah.
And so, anyways, so I go to the show, and because my wife, you know, had to, you know, keep this surprise weekend getaway was supposed to take place in April.
Yeah.
And because of work and kids' hockey schedules and different things, it kept getting pushed back. So finally she's like, June 29th, you're going. And I'm like, okay, great. There's nothing going on that day. Then they announced Tom Kiefer. I'm like, well, I have to go to Tom Kiefer.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So
she sacrifices again.
Again.
What she's been doing since she married you.
Right, exactly. So now it's scheduled for August, and so far there's no shows that day.
Yeah.
So, but I'm sure something will pop up.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I got to thank her, but she doesn't really go to concerts a lot with me. You know, she's not really like the groupie type. She doesn't really, you know, like the crowds and different things like that.
Yeah.
So, anyways, so we went, and I have to say, first of all, Tom Kiefer and his wife are just super nice people, and Tom Kiefer puts on such a great show. He is on stage for the complete hour and a half. He never leaves the stage. He sings guitar solos, pianos, I mean everything. He does everything. And you can really see where Cinderella, what the backbone and the spine of that band was.
Yeah.
So he was so good when I saw him a few years ago. I'm like, I can't miss him. I mean, he's just so good.
Yeah.
So I got to thank him real fast. And then we went on the bus afterwards, and I brought my wife. And like I said, she's not really into meeting bands and different things like that. And he was so gracious. And like, you're going on the bus, you're actually like walking into their house, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm there with my son's girlfriend's parents also. And at one point, I'm like, hey, dude, listen, my son's girlfriend's parents are out there. And he's like, oh, bring them on in. Hey, help Meltdown bring the, you know, so he brought them on. Just super nice.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, he says the record's done and it should be out. He wouldn't tell me exactly when. He's actually said to me, he goes, can he keep you a secret? I said, no, not really. And so he never did tell me. But anyways, but it will be coming out. And I guess it's supposed to be pretty good. So there you go. There's your Cinderella Tom Kiefer update. Not like you were asking.
Yeah, the Cinderella update.
Yeah, there you go. So speaking of the same vein, kind of, sort of, the guys from Steel Panther, I just watched the video for their first single off of their next epic album.
That's right.
So all 9.5 minutes of it.
Yeah, well, we've got a title and a release date for that. I mean, I knew the first time in like 3 weeks we've done rock news, we got to lead off with some Steel Panther.
That's right.
And it's finally coming out. Heavy Metal Rules. Mark this down, Meltdown. You know, you're not having any getaway plans for September 27th, do you?
Not yet.
Well, there you go. Well, you're going to be listening to the album that day.
That's
so
good, yeah.
The wife's going to have to mark that off as you are booked.
Yeah, Heavy Metal Rules. Yeah, and the first single, the what's this? It's such a catchy song, too. What's it called? Tonight I want to go F myself or something like that, right?
Yeah, I don't have it right up in.
So
I just saw one of the other titles.
I know. And
F everybody.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
So Zebra Man. We've got Heavy Metal Parking Lot.
No,
what is all this stuff? Oh, is this from one of the other ones?
My God!
All right. All I want to do is F myself tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's get high tonight. Always gonna be a hoe.
Are those some of the songs on the record?
Yeah, I'm looking at the. This is the track listing right here.
What are some of the other ones?
I'm Not Your Bitch.
Whoa.
F Everybody.
Yeah.
Heavy Metal Rules. Sneaky Little Bitch. Gods of. You know,
I wonder if you know this Heavy Metal Rules is going to be kind of like a takeoff of Death to All But Metal. You know,
well, this one right here, the final to the 10th track on the album, could be the theme song for the rock news segment on this podcast. I ain't buying what you're selling.
It could be.
Could be.
I keep, you know, for the past several years, I've tried to get those guys to, like, just use, like, one line. Mm-hmm. And so the one line is, she's as easy as a two-piece puzzle. And I'm like, dude, you got to fit that in somewhere. And so I've told, like, Michael Starr and stuff. Well, apparently Satchel writes all the lyrics. And I happened to do a thing with Satchel last time he was in town. And he's like, dude, I love that. Yeah, I might use that. But I guess that all the songs were already written for this record. So he says, maybe next record.
Yeah.
So I will remind him.
Yeah. I just say, he's going to forget.
I don't want a writing credit or anything. I just want to get, like, one of my lines put on a Steel Panther record.
Right.
So I can say, that's my line. That's I told him to put that in there.
Yeah. Well, if they do it, all of us will be the first to know, because you'll tell us.
Hey, by the way, yeah, I will. By the way, the video is up, and it's pretty sweet. It's they did it in Las Vegas, right there on the strip, and what's interesting when you watch it, you know, you've been to Vegas a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you're walking on the strip, you are, like, in a traffic jam of people sometimes.
Yes.
But the way they shot this, it's like you can't see any of the people on the strip, so I don't know if they did it, like, 6 in the morning, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so there's not, like, big groups of people, at least that, and not that I really recall watching the video, but and there's some special guests there. Lizzie Borden's in there. Chris Kale from Five Finger Death Punch is, like, the minister and stuff like that, so it's pretty sweet. Hey, let's move on to another band with some Las Vegas roots, talking about Hell Yeah. Of course, Vinnie Paul, the late, great Vinnie Paul. Bumped That's into right. him bunches of times in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and so they've got the new Hell Yeah album coming out, actually the same day as the Steel Panthers, September 27th.
Hey, now, I gotta take the whole weekend off.
You gotta take the whole weekend off. But yeah, so Welcome Home obviously has... It's a very impactful album because we lost Vinny and everything. So Hell Yeah is actually doing a web series of the making of Welcome Home, which the first part one has been posted online. So a little series of these to look forward to.
Yeah, and you haven't watched them though, huh?
I haven't. No, I just found out about this.
What kind of rock news correspondent are you?
I'm delivering the news. I'm not living the news.
Well, you should know a little bit about what's going on.
I
hence the no follow up questions.
That's what I was gonna say. I know a little bit, a very little bit about what's going on, and I'm telling you everything I know.
I'll tell you what,
which
man.
Which is almost nothing.
You are definitely not earning your keep as far as the pay I give you for this.
I think I'm giving you exactly what you pay me for.
No doubt. Hey, Zach Wilde, I guess, now, you know, I've talked about this before. As a matter of fact, he talks about trying out for Guns N' Roses and how that kind of spawned Black Label Society. The story that I heard... And I haven't asked him about this, but somebody who's in kind of the know told me that he had left Ozzy to join Guns N' Roses. And when that kind of went kaput and didn't really work, well, he's like, well, now what am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know, so what'd he say?
Well, he in another interview, he was talking about his experience with almost joining Guns N' Roses. He knew Slash and, you know, Duff and, you know, a bunch of guys. And so he had never met Axl, but they were thinking about adding another guitar to the mix. You know, this is, you know, the mid-90s. Slash was still in the band. It was, you know, and so they called him up and he came over and he jammed with them. And there was nothing really concrete. He said they didn't have anything laid down, but they had all these riff ideas from jamming with Slash and the guys. And it kind of got in this weird spot where he was never actually officially offered the job. And then he did, you know, they were actually working on Osmosis at the time. So Ozzy's telling him, like, listen, you can do both, man, but I need, like, an answer because we're going to hit the tour soon. Mm-hmm. We either need you or we got to get someone else. So, like, make up your mind. And it was, I guess he never really got the official job offer. So when he went back and did the Ozzy thing, he had all these riffs. Ideas, so he had to do something with them.
Okay.
And that's where Black Label Society came from. He's like, I gotta do something with all this music I came up with.
Yeah.
And so he formed his own band.
Well, here's what Slash had to say about it when I just asked him about this. I don't know, 2 months ago when he was on the Talkin' Rock podcast, I asked him about Zach joining Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, there's some truth to that. I mean, well, there was a right before I left, so this was in 1996, I guess. Guns was rehearsing at this place called The Complex in Santa Monica. And Zach had come down. I've always been, you know, buddies with Zach, but in the sort of context of Guns N' Roses, it was a weird kind of a thing. And it was just, but we jammed for a little bit, and then it just, not because of Zach, but just in general, it just wasn't working. And pretty soon after that, I was gone.
Yeah, I think Axl called it a two-headed snake. There were two really good guitar players going at it at the same time.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just what it, I mean, but I think it was one of those desperate moves at a time when when something needed to happen. It was just a crazy idea that happened. But, I think it would have been a little bit over the top. Me and Zach were out there fucking roofing out.
I got you.
It's cool, nonetheless, you know.
And then, I don't know, I think this interview is from 2004 or something. I asked Axel the same thing. Check this out.
It's like when I tried to bring Zach and Slash together. That didn't go too well.
Oh, really? You tried to bring Zach and Slash together once?
Yeah, it was fun to watch.
Really?
It was like, you know, watching, you know, a giant snake with a Tyrannosaurus Rex and see what, you know, so it was pretty exciting. I mean, we had a good time. I don't know if they did.
When was this?
That was about 95.
So there you have Axel and his take.
Yeah. Well, you know, you talk about being such big guitarists. I mean, yeah. I will say one of the coolest things I've seen getting to work in this job or whatever, you know, you see the sound checks, and every so often you see them and they'll run through a song or something when they're gearing up. There was a Slash solo show I was broadcasting live from at the Fillmore in Detroit, and we went in to check out a little bit of the sound check, and it was just Slash just, I'm just going to sit and jam on my guitar for a while. So you're just watching an impromptu Slash solo on stage. You and like 10 other people.
Yeah.
You know, like one of the coolest things ever, you know?
Yeah, I got to watch Bob Seger one time sound check, and all of a sudden I'm like in this empty arena, and he's like, hey, let's do Turn the Page. I'm like, I'm watching Turn the Page by myself.
By yourself.
It was so cool.
Those little things, those are little things that we get to do in our job that are super cool.
Yeah. Mike McCready from Pearl Jam recently jammed with a bunch of guys, huh?
Yeah, so he was actually hosting this big music festival in Montana, and a bunch of, it's like a super group jam session meltdown, like a bunch of guys. We're talking Josh Klinghoffer, currently from Red Hot Chili Peppers. Chad Smith was there. Let's see, who else was there? Taylor Hawkins, Brandy Carlisle, and more. And they did all sorts of stuff. I mean, we're talking Led Zeppelin medleys where they matched together Moby Dick, Good Times, Bad Times, Dazed and Confused. They did like Queen and David Bowie covers, all sorts of stuff. And there is video online, mostly crowd shot footage of this. But man, like, can you imagine a lineup like that getting together, super group jam session?
It's always cool when some of these guys get together, and you know, we're just talking about, you know, Zakk Wylde and stuff, you know, jamming with you know, Slash. It's like, yeah, you know, now here's another example of something like that. So it always is kind of neat to hear what, you know, these people can do together.
Yeah.
So last thing here, we got Slayer. This is a great story. So yeah. Refresh our memory. So a couple years ago, some guy couldn't get in the Slayer concert or
didn't have
tickets. He got kicked out.
This guy, it was in Toronto at Toronto's Budweiser stage. He got kicked out. He was a little too drunk. Security got rid of them. Where at this venue, I've never actually seen it, but I guess a lot of it is surrounded by water.
You know. It's probably like a moat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like lake, river, something that's backed up against water. So security throws this guy out, and he attempted to re-enter the show by swimming ashore.
That is classic. First of all, you're drunk and you're going to try to swim.
Yeah, yes. And he comes fully equipped with his Anthrax t-shirt.
Right.
I guess Slayer tried to, like, hey, get him back in here. But security was like, no. Like, he's gone for a reason.
You can't just have a drunk, wet guy now all of a sudden in there, you know?
But here's the thing. So, yeah, a few years ago, this guy got kicked out or whatever. Well, Budweiser is celebrating. This was 25 maybe, I don't know if this event was 25 years ago, but the venue opened up 25 years ago. So okay. Budweiser is commemorating the anniversary of the venue with a special commemorative can. And that guy swimming ashore is actually featured on the can of Budweiser.
That is a great story.
It's a great story. And you know what? Of course, they asked the guy, they asked him for a comment. You know what he had to say on his Facebook post? I wonder if I can get free beer. What a great question.
I'll tell you what, man. He'd definitely be buying a case of beer or a two for us. They call him up in Canada. But it's like, there's other things on
there. There's other things. He is at like the bottom corner of the thing. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell. It's just a, you know, red background and, you know, there's imagery in white. But he is featured on it specifically, you know, intentionally.
That's a great story. So Slayer, they're talking about their final campaign. Or
obviously, one of my favorite bands, Slayer. They did announce the final campaign tour, which is the last, I think, seventh and final leg leg of their farewell tour. Nothing in Detroit. There's a handful of dates basically spanning through the month of November. And their final show is going to be November 30th at the Forum in Los Angeles.
Yeah, a lot of bands seem to pick the Forum in Los Angeles. Motley Crue did the same thing, you know. I've heard that Kiss is not going to. But, okay. You know, we'll see what happens. That remains to be seen. But
we've discussed on the podcast, they do know where it's going to be. They've already picked it out. They just haven't announced it yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, Slayer, that's gonna be wicked. So, you got your flight booked for that final show? Or
I would love to, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's not in the cards. I hear you. That'd be a cool. That's probably Thanksgiving weekend, man. Take a long weekend.
Yeah.
Go see your brother there in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Take a trip over to Los Angeles.
You're talking me into it.
There you go. All right, man. Well, there you have it. There's your rock news that you can use or not. Courtesy of Al Beck, nicknamed Slayer. So what's your socials?
Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, there you go. At Meltdown WRIF. And, of course, WRIF.com. Got to thank WBOS in Boston for taking us on as well. And thank you guys so much for listening. And we've got some more in the works. I know Charlie from Blackberry Smoke is supposed to be coming up here pretty soon. And I know we have a big festival happening this weekend here in Detroit with Pop Evil and Shinedown and bands like that. So I'm sure I'll be talking to a couple of those guys coming up as well on a future episode. So, as always, thank you so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast, 248-586-2988. If you want to leave some feedback, and of course, five-star ratings and reviews are always welcome on Apple iTunes and the whole thing. So thanks so much for checking out Talkin' Rock.